Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
Know that Elvis Presley's famous song, You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, was actually a cover? It wasn't his song. It was written by a blues artist named Big Mama Thornton. Maybe that's not your style of music. Maybe Led Zeppelin was some of your upbringing, but their song, Dazed and Confused, also was a cover song. Not true to them. It was written by a folk artist named Jake Holmes. And maybe this might hit all of us, but the song Macarena was first in Spanish, and they think inspired by a Colombian dancer named Diana Cubillan. This morning, we're also looking at a cover song. Psalm 104 is striking in its own right, but when we see where it comes from, it gives us a glimpse, it gives us a picture of the secret to life to the full. Psalm 104 is a cover song of the first page of Scripture. It's a reprise or a remix of Genesis chapter 1. The main difference is that in Genesis 1, it's like you're seeing a house being built, piece by piece coming together. Psalm 104 is the picture of the house functioning as a home, functioning as it was designed to, all the pieces working in harmony. And let me just show you a couple examples so you can see this. Day one, what's created in day one in Genesis? You got this, team. Let there be light. There we go. Okay, we're waking. We're going now. Let there be light. And we know it's interesting that light comes before the sun comes in Genesis 1. Jesus himself will later say, I am the light of the world. And in Psalm 104, verse 1 and 2, it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as a garment. Day 1, we see the creation of light. In day two of creation, you guys aren't, if you can't get day one, you can't get day two probably, is when God divides the heavens and creates the atmosphere. He creates the waters above and below. And we see in verse 3 today this picture being painted of this unique phenomenon. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. Okay, day 3, do you got it? What does God separate? He separates the sea from the land. There we go. All right. Verses 8 and 10. The mountains rose. The valleys sank. And God made the springs to gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. Can you see Genesis 1 being enlivened here, animated? Day 4 is the creation of the sun, moon, and stars in Genesis 1 to govern times and seasons. And that's exactly what we see in verses 19 to 23. God made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. Psalm 104 is a cover song of Genesis 1, but I'm not going to do all the work for you today. I encourage you this week, open up Genesis 1 and open up Psalm 104 and just take some time soaking in those two texts and see how these two are really showing us the same picture. But you might be saying, this is really cool, but what's the point? Well, remember, Genesis 1 is showing us the building process. Psalm 104 is showing us the finished product. It's showing us really that moment in Genesis 1:31 where God says, it is very good. And all of this psalm, almost all of this psalm, we see life flourishing, life working well as it continues to look to its creator. The point of Psalm 104 is this. If you want to have fullness of life, you have to look to the Creator. And the summary verse from this psalm, the two verses are verses 27 and 28. Look at these with me. It says, "These all look to you to give them their food in due season. And when you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things." What we are seeing in Psalm 104 is that creation looks to God's hand, obeys His command, and as a result, they flourish in God's land. This is the picture of how life was meant to be. And we see that each part in this psalm is recognizing and fulfilling its unique calling. It's doing what it's supposed to be doing. And as a result, life is in harmony. There's accord. There's unity. The image that emerges from this song is that all of creation is functioning like a symphony orchestra. The water, vegetation, moon, sun, the rock badger, even the sea creature are all keeping a keen eye on the conductor and playing their part. You could maybe even imagine the Leviathan, the sea monster, hitting a wood block just in time, or the thunder preparing to crash its cymbals at just the right moment. Each part is serving the other and creating harmony. And we see this description in the middle of the psalm that when the water does its water thing, it gives drink to the world. That when the vegetation and plants and fruit trees yield fruit, it feeds the world. That when the mountains hold their position, there's a place for people to dwell. And when the sun and moon take their turns, all of creation is reminded that there is a time to work and there's a time to rest. All of these rhythms we see back and forth. And we also notice that even in this perfect creation, there is, in a sense, a death to self, a submission to God's will going on. In order for the water to quench thirst, it has to be drunk, consumed. In order for the plants to give food, they have to be cut down. In order for the sun to rise, the moon has to bow low. And in order for the moon to glow, it has to receive the sun's brightness. We see creation functioning so beautifully and fully. And this is a simple application for all of us today. Find moments to get outside and delight in how God has ordered creation. Now, I know it's harder in Bogota because some of our, you know, we mostly have these pesky pigeons everywhere. My children chase the pigeons around. It may not be the most beautiful picture of God's creation, but there are places in Bogota to sit and rest and take stock of God's good creation. And also find opportunities to get outside the city if you are able to enjoy that. But the problem that we see in our text today is that unlike the rest of creation, humans have a soul and a will. Put another way, our response to God is not automatic like the trees and the fish of the sea. In fact, Jesus says it like this in Luke chapter 19. He says, "If the people remain silent, the stones will cry out." He's indicating that in this scenario, the stones wouldn't have a choice, but the humans do. And the ending of Psalm 104 shows us that we are supposed to choose with creation. By looking at it, we should mimic it and do what it does. Verse 33 says, "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have being." The Apostle Paul affirms that in Acts 17, that like creation, we too live, breathe, and have our being in God. But as Scripture likes to do to us, it doesn't end as nicely as we would often like it to. It'd be wonderful if the whole psalm ended at verse 33. "I'm going to sing to the Lord." Look in your Bibles, though. Look at verse 35. Here's the actual ending of the song. "Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord." It would be a whole lot easier if the song ended at verse 33. it would make the song feel much more full if we had this final beautiful note of everything in a chord. But instead, it sounds like a screeching violin note at the end. It sounds like a cymbal crash at a resting note in the song, and this symphony falls apart in this last moment. What do we do with this? It's always tempting to avoid verses like this. For one, it reminds us that although the message of Christianity is beautiful and good, it is also heavy because it promises that there will be a judgment in this world, that sin cannot reign, and that God is going to do something about it. And again, it makes this psalm kind of awkward. The presence of this verse, though, reminds us that even one note in the wrong key, one beat out of rhythm, can throw off the whole song. And in God's world, it needs to be cut out. In The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis, there's this beautiful picture. It's almost as if he's reading Psalm 104 as he's writing this. And Aslan the lion, the Christ figure, is singing creation into existence. And as he's singing, all of creation with it is just in this beautiful dance and movement. And everything is coming to order and rightness. And the animals are alive and well. And there is beauty and order. And all creation is in awe of Aslan and obeying him. And then, of course, in stark contrast, we have the feeble and frustrating Uncle Andrew. Uncle Andrew refuses to hear the song as music. Instead, he convinces himself that Aslan is just a foolish lion, and all he hears is roars, and he can't hear the beautiful song of creation. The same song that awakened joy and life in others only deepens Uncle Andrew's insecurity, confusion, and fear. And in Psalm 104, if it does mirror Genesis 1, I would argue that verse 35 reminds us of Adam and Eve's fall into sin. They stopped looking to God, and they were banished from the garden. Not because God is vindictive and angry, but because sin simply cannot exist in God's design. It is a note out of key. Sin keeps looking to self for life and purpose, and it only finds emptiness. And creation instead was designed to look to God's hand for provision and obey his commands. But the problem that we find ourselves in today is that, like Uncle Andrew, we like to plug our ears to God's creation song. Like Adam and Eve, we so quickly want to turn away and stop looking at God's goodness and start looking at ourselves. We turn our eyes from him instead of toward him. And what happens in these moments is that it really paralyzes us from the purposes that God has created for us, and it steals glory from God that is due him. And this is not just a problem for people outside the church. In fact, probably Christians are even more guilty because we know God as our Creator and our Lord, and yet we continue to look away from him. Let's continue to think about this example of the symphony orchestra. Here's what happens a lot in my life. I take my eyes off of the conductor, and instead of looking at his direction and guidance, I start looking at the person next to me who's playing the music as well. And I think to myself, I like their instrument better. How come they got a better part than me? And why are they so much better at playing their instrument than I am? You know what this is called? It's comparison. And so often, even as Christians, we turn our eyes away from the Lord and we look at the people next to us to try to find our worth and our significance. And it really makes us feel weary. And if we get tired of that, then we try something else. Here's what I usually try next. I then look at my sheet music, the thing that I'm supposed to do, and I only focus on that. I stop looking to the Creator, the conductor. I stop listening to the people beside me, and I get so fixated on trying to do the right thing, to live a perfect life, to trust in my own effort and performance for significance. And usually after a while, we get really weary from that as well, because it disconnects us from the community that we were made for. And if you're like me, the more you focus on your work, the more you realize how much you're screwing it up. When we stop looking at the conductor, we try to find significance elsewhere. And once all of this continues to fall apart, you know what our last effort is? We jump out of the orchestra pit, we run to the conductor and take his baton, and we try to control the world around us. All the while trying to bring order in the midst of our own chaos and loss. We do not do what creation does. We keep looking away from the conductor, from the creator. But verse 27 says, these all look to you. And brothers and sisters, all of this is called sin. It's jealousy. It's self-righteousness. It's trying to play God. It's looking anywhere else for our value and identity. And we do this in so many other ways too. We look at our phones for a sense of security and purpose and identity. We look to our jobs, our hobbies, our children to give us a sense of significance. And at the heart of all this is a refusal to join creation and look at the Creator. And this is what it says. Let us be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. This is what we deserve. We are not the rock badger obeying. We are the sinner in verse 35. What do we do with this? Well, we have a picture of Jesus and an invitation to join creation in our text today. If, like the rest of creation, we are called to look to the conductor, where do we see the conductor in this passage? Where do we look to? I want to have you turn your eyes to verses 15 and then verse 29 and 30. Verse 15 says this: God gives wine to gladden the heart of man. He gives oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. And then look at verses 29 and 30. But God, when you hide your face, creation is dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. And when you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. David, who we think wrote this psalm, like last week, is again trying to paint a picture of salvation. And he's also painting a picture of resurrection hope for sinners as well. But these three words that we see in verse 15, wine, oil, and bread. Who does that make you think of? Wine, oil, and bread. I hope it draws your eyes to Jesus. Jesus is called Jesus the Christ, which is the word Jesus the Messiah, which means the anointed one with oil. Jesus makes our face shine, and he gladdens and strengthens our feeble hearts with wine and bread. The anointed one gave his body and blood so that we would not be consumed. He, like we mentioned last week, experienced, like we see in verse 29, God's hidden face. He was dismayed. He was experiencing his breath being taken from him by the people hanging him on the cross. And then he died. But as we see in verse 30, when God's Spirit moves, it brings new life. And from the face of the ground, from the face of the tomb, Jesus comes out again. What we see here is that Jesus became the sinner consumed in verse 35, so that all who put their trust in him would never have to be. He became the cast out wicked one so that we would never have to be cast out. I've got a really simple word for us as we bring this to a close. I am discovering more and more in my life that one step away from the basics of the gospel is one step way too far. That the very first thing, we are to look to God. Turn your eyes to Him. And I notice that when I start my day looking anywhere else other than the Lord for strength, by the end of the day, I feel like, how can I keep this up? And the reality is, we cannot. If we day after day keep looking to something else for our identity, for our significance, we will quickly run out of gas. But the invitation here, so simple, these all look to Him. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of brokenness and hardship. You might be thinking this morning, my job is falling apart. First, look to Jesus and then say, Lord, what do you have for me? You might be experiencing pain and brokenness and betrayal. First, look to Jesus and then say, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? How can I be faithful? Experiencing brokenness in a marriage. First, look to Jesus for your identity. Your spouse will never be able to fulfill all of your needs. And then say, how do I love my spouse in light of this? Charles Spurgeon famously said it like this: anyone can look. A child can look. A fool can look. A dying man can look. This is our only hope. Like creation, we need to look to God's hand, obey His commands, and experiencing the flourishing that comes from that. Psalm 104 is more than just a cover song. It's an invitation to join the choir, and the only way to sing in tune is to look to your conductor. Look to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for this song as we've been trying to understand, how do we experience delight in you? The invitation today is, even in the midst of hardship and brokenness, keep looking to you. Keep saying, Lord, what do you have for me in this? I don't understand, but I need you. And we thank you, Lord, that you have offered everything that we need, that you gave your body and blood so that our faces could shine. And while we may feel the fading of our faces in this life, we know that in the one to come, our face will shine because we will see you as you are in the twinkling of an eye, and we will be like you. For we shall see you as you are. Lord, help us to long for that more than for the joys of this world. It's in Jesus' beautiful name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.